Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol two-man car.
Tobias and Sarah.
Jess and Anita, we're here every Friday talking about family spiritual warfare.
Absolutely, and it's so wonderful to be back serving our Lord and Lady and to be with you, Virgin Most Powerful listeners. It's just wonderful. We always look forward to Friday.
Absolutely. TGIF, thank God it's Friday. No, thank God I'm forgiven. Hey, by the way, today's the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Yes, Mount Carmel.
Little reflection here?
Yeah, little reflection.
I'll give one, then my wife will give another one. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, this feast instituted in the 14th century for the Carmelite order, commemorates the anniversary of the day in 1251 when the Blessed Mother gave the brown scapular to St. Simon Stock. She said, for those who wear it, close quote, Pope Benedict XVI explained it is a sign of filial abandonment to the protection of the Immaculate Virgin in our battle against evil. May Mother Mary wrap us in her mantle. Even I, from my youngest days, says St. John Paul II, have worn around my neck the scapular of Our Lady, and I take refuge with trust under the mantle of the Blessed Virgin Mary's the Mother of Jesus.
Yeah, and on July 16th, again, 1251, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to St. Simon Stock, the Superior General of the Carmelites in England, and gave him the brown scapula. Mary promised her protection to all those who wear the scapula. This is the origin of the devotion of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and the brown scapula. The brown scapula is one of the numerous sacramentals of the Church. And you know, when we pray when we ask Our Lady to cover us with the mantle of her protection, think about it. The scapula is the mantle of her protection.
That's precisely the mantle.
That's the mantle of protection. So whenever you put that on every morning, I always keep mine on. I never take it off. But that's just me. I want to be protector 24/7.
Yep, and here's the collect at Holy Mass, today's prayer, calling upon Our Lady. And so we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the venerable intercession of the glorious Virgin Mary come to our aid, we pray, O Lord, so that fortified by her protection, we may reach the mountain which is Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Ave Maria, gracia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in mortis nostre. Amen.
Gloria Patri,
Filio, Spiritus Sancto, sicur erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Let's jump into the first topic today. We got some spiritual warfare topics that are positive. In other words, things that help you. One of them is called Signal Graces. Signal Graces. Mm-hmm. There's a good article on the internet. It's called How the Blessed Mother Encourages Her Little Ones. We'll give some tidbits from the article. Mm-hmm. Praying the Rosary is a devotional practice by which the faithful meditate on the mysteries of the lives of Jesus and Mary. In purposefully slowing down our pace by means of this prayer, we become open to what Our Lady and Our Lord have to say to us during the prayer, as well as in each moment of the day. You could say that praying the Rosary lowers your spiritual blood pressure and allows you to be present to and see things in your life that you might otherwise have missed without it. By the way, in my book, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle, I got doctor's data there on prayer. It not only lowers your spiritual blood pressure, it actually lowers your blood pressure.
Yes.
15 minutes of meditative prayer and all kinds of other benefits that I have in my book that I can't get to right now.
Yep. So among the 15 promises, that Mary gave to St. Dominic and Blessed Alain de la Roche for those who pray, the rosary is a gift of what they call signal graces. You won't find a definition of these graces in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, but some people consider any prayer that is notably answered, such as a prayer for healing, to be a signal grace. For others, a signal grace is an interior knowing of what the right way to proceed is, or the revelation of some needed but missing piece of information in order to make a good decision. I believe I have experienced both these types. This is the writer saying of signal graces, but also one more, what I commonly call signal graces, others might call God incidences, a more spiritual way of looking at what some might brush off as mere coincidence.
We all use that term. Yes. This is a God incident. This is a, yeah, that's a common phrase amongst Catholics.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The author's saying, no, this is a signal grace. So what does confidence mean? Confidence means with faith. Much of our prayerful discernment revolves around the bigger questions of life, such as vocation, family, work, community involvement, etc. But once those questions have been decided, we have to walk through the day. We have to walk through the day-to-day results with confidence that those bigger decisions are in accord with God's plan that we have discerned well. Signal graces then become little signposts or trail markers that whisper in my ear. I would say that is the guardian angel, because that's the role of a guardian angel,
right,
is to whisper things into your ear and to move the intellect and will towards goodness, beauty, and truth.
Mm-hmm.
The author says, this is the way, walk in it. When living the life whose bigger decisions yield, the little decisions can be overwhelming. Our ability to meet our needs woefully inadequate, and the strength to do what is required seems not enough. These shortages can cause us to doubt that we made those big decisions correctly.
She continues, we are not called to walk in doubt or timidity, but in confidence that our well-discerned choices are sound. Knowing our littleness, weakness, and lack of confidence, our Blessed Mother asks our Lord for trail markers along our way to encourage us and help us to grow in our trust in God and His divine providence. These signal graces build up our faith that, though the going is rougher than we hope, though we are being stretched further than we thought we would be, we shouldn't give up, but instead persevere along the path in front of us.
When someone gives you a bag of hand-me-downs and it contains just exactly what you needed and prayed for, that is a signal grace that being a stay-at-home mother was a well-discerned choice. When a sudden unexpected decrease in a fixed expense occurs after you stood firm in your convictions not to work on Sundays, that is a signal grace of a well-discerned choice. When you pray for a simple way to help an elderly neighbor and realize, as you are thinking about her, that you made way too much dinner, that's a signal grace. On their own, these small graces are not enough to make great changes in your life or the lives of those you love. They are not meant to be. They are more of a fortification, a heavenly hug, a love note, helping you to step back and remember the big picture that you are a beloved child of the King.
I'd like to share a signal grace that Jesse and I had a few months ago. Our neighbor down the street, he was ill, and he's in rehab and recuperating from his illness. And his wife and him were walking from the mailbox, and she was holding on to him. And then Jesse looked out the window. Hey, let's just go say hi to our neighbor and just see how he's doing. Well, when we got there, it happened that the wife needed much help with him because physically he was unable to make it back home, which was only a few steps away from the house, and she needed help. Otherwise, I think she would have had, he probably would have not made it.
He was falling, actually.
Yes, he was actually falling, and that was, I believe that was a signal grace.
We were able to help him and carry him.
We were out without even knowing. We just thought, okay, let's just go see hi and say how. So that was a signal grace.
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe so.
Yep.
That's an example.
Yep.
It is noteworthy that Our Lady, our Queen, gives these graces in exchange of spending time in prayer. She is trying to teach us that by spending time close to her Immaculate Heart and to Jesus, the Sacred Heart, we will grow more and more like them, more attuned to the life of grace that we are living. What joy! What an exchange! The life of grace becomes like a treasure hunt, where we, like gleeful children, run along from clue to clue, growing in excitement and confidence that we are going to wind up exactly where we want to be, heaven.
Amen.
That's wonderful. Blessed
Mother has promised to give us signal graces, not to give us holy shivers or prove anything to us, but to encourage her children along the long and difficult way, the Valley of Tears. Yes, sometimes we skip along from clue to clue like joyful children, but often we don't. Often, all of us need a nudge from the Blessed Mother, our mama, who loves us. Yes. So that we can keep our chin up and look at her son and what he's doing in our lives and look at how Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is working behind the scenes to do everything for our ultimate best.
Yeah. This gift of grace, of new courage and strength, is simply Our Lady keeping one of her 15 promises in exchange for slowing down, drawing near, and meditating on the sacred mysteries. When the trail is rockier than expected, the incline steeper than feeling fit for, or mileage just so much longer than when you plan on hiking, pick up our beads, draw near to Blessed Mother and Jesus, pray. Many are the graces our Lord gives through the Blessed Mother when we pray the rosary. Today, we should be particularly thankful for those graces called signal graces.
Let me give you a definition from a Mariologist on signal graces. Father Donald Calloway says,
oh, yeah, we know him.
Signal graces are, he says, it is a sign and or confirmation from God that you're on the right path and moving towards heaven.
Wow.
We'll continue. Jesus 911, two-man car.
Ora por nobis.
Here she comes. We love you, Mary. Pray for us. By the way, we attend a parish called Our Lady of Guadalupe here in the Phoenix Valley.
And we have a wonderful pastor. Father.
Yeah. Yeah. We attend two parishes, but that's one of the parishes that we attend, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So that means a lot to us.
Yes.
The month of July.
Yeah, the month of July. It's dedicated to what? The most precious blood of Jesus. And we remember and revere the blood of Christ spilled on Calvary by attending Mass and receiving the Holy Eucharist. Christ's very own body and blood is veiled in his Eucharistic presence. In prayer, we can place our sins and sufferings into the wounds of Christ and be washed, renewed, and healed through his precious blood. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, Christ's blood is the key to heaven's treasures. So just remember to attend Mass as much as you can. I know Sunday's a must. But if you can, but you could do spiritual communion. Absolutely. Jesse has it in his book, as a matter of fact. Spiritual communion.
It's my Jesus, I believe that thou art present in the most blessed sacrament. I love thee above all things, and I desire to possess thee within my soul. Since I am enabled now to receive thee sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace he's been already there, and I unite myself wholly and entirely to thee. Amen. Look at what we just did. Called to God, and so who's going to transport the sacramental graces of the Mass to you because you asked for it?
Your guardian angel.
That's exactly what the theology of that prayer is.
Yeah, and you know what? On your way to work, pray it. Pray it on your way to work
every morning. That's
and even
be a
on
must.
Your way to church, because who knows?
What if you don't make it?
What if you don't make it? Absolutely.
Yeah. What if you get T-boned by a drunk driver or something,
and you don't make it to Mass? Not saying that's something. Yeah. There's going to be a fatality, but there can be. You'll miss Mass.
But at least you're calling the grace of the sacraments anyhow.
Right.
In anticipation. Father Calloway, let me just mention it one more time. We talked about signal grace, and we're going to move on to another topic. But Father's a Mariologist. So he's from the MICM Fathers. He says a signal grace is a sign and or confirmation from God that you are on the right path and moving towards heaven.
Wow.
Dr. Dan Schneider, who's got a PhD in Mariology, he says, signal grace are special graces which move the intellect to use the light of human reason and move the will to act in a special way to receive a certain grace. He says, so it's good to pray not just for the conversion of X, but that they receive the grace of example, the grace of increase of faith, the grace of an increase of love, or that they receive the grace to assent to the truths of the Roman Catholic faith. these graces, these signal graces, are signs, and in Latin it's called signa. A sign is a mark or a stamp, of special favor by Our Lady, given at a specific time of need for a soul who merits it through holiness and devotion to the Blessed Virgin through the rosary.
You know, that a signa or mark, a stamp, reminds me in the Old Testament, the Tau.
God marked the good people that were destined for heaven, marked them on the forehead. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
With an X, T actually, which is the cross.
Yep.
Well, let's move on to arrow prayers.
Arrow prayers. Yeah, let's see.
We talked last night that we're never going to use, because we used to use the term ejaculation prayers.
Right.
We're never going to use that term again. But people do use that term.
Yeah.
It's kind of a traditional term that I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it because of it.
It's been pornified, I think.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Although it is a medical term. It is a medical term. So, but I think.
But the culture of death has really pornified that word.
Yeah.
So we're going to start using arrow prayers.
Yeah. So like arrow prayers. We're going to find out. Let's find out by reading this.
And by the way, arrow prayers are in the Bible. I mean, doesn't God use arrow prayers?
Yep. In Psalm 64, verse 8, it says, God shoots an arrow at them. In a moment, they are struck down. Arrows are a reference to the word of God. Prayer is calling in air strikes against the enemy. Who's the enemy?
The demons.
In the Old Testament, Israelites would have archers on top of the high walls surrounding the city. When they would see an enemy approaching the city to attack them, the archers would launch volleys of arrows at their enemy. The arrows would fall upon the enemies like rain.
So this is the theology of prayer, arrow prayer. I like it.
I love it.
We got Nancy Banzuch wrote this article. Very good stuff. Let's begin here.
Let's hear. Okay, arrow prayers. Have you heard of these? Maybe not. But even if you haven't, I bet you have used an arrow prayer before. Maybe without even knowing it. An arrow prayer is a simple, short prayer that brings us right into the presence of God. Very often, arrow prayers are just a couple of words, a sentence or less. They can be short passages of Scripture, a cry for help, or just the name of Jesus.
Here's what I like about that section that you just wrote. I think what jumps out at me is it's a cry for help.
Yep.
That's what's necessary for God to move in somebody's life. Somebody has to really cry for help. If you're going through the motions, and we know people, they go through the motions of prayer. They don't mean it. They're just doing it because whatever. I'm hearing it under my parents' roof, so I've got to do it because they're going to get mad if I don't. But the cry for help is that Psalm 130 moment when you say, Lord, out of the depths of the earth, I cry to you for help. That's, or the Psalm 51 where David says, create in me, Lord, a clean heart. Arrow prayers, all prayers, have to come from the heart, and they're more effective when they're a cry for help, when you realize that you can't do anything apart from God. Yeah.
Yep. So without any deliberate thought, the writer says, I have gotten into the habit of using arrow prayers many times a day. I repeat, Jesus, I trust in you. How many of us do that?
I do it.
Over and over again before jumping on Facebook Live. This is a writer saying, because I still get so nervous. That's what she said. I repeat, my Lord and my God, when I remember while debating if I should have a nasty comment to my husband with the help of this prayer, I usually control myself from saying it. And while in adoration, I often spend at least 10 full minutes gazing at the monstrance, repeating the name of Jesus in rhythm with my breathing. How many of us actually do that? During the elevations, we say, my Lord and my God. Jesse and I do that.
It's a Hispanic tradition.
Yeah.
You've seen all the Spanish masses. They all say, Señor mío y Dios mío. It goes back decades and decades. I've heard it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's happening more and more in English masses I've seen where people say it kind of quietly. But nothing replaces time spent with Scripture. And I am lost without my daily rosary. But I am so grateful for arrow prayers. Arrow prayers have allowed me to step closer towards our calling to pray without ceasing. I can recite arrow prayers as I do the dishes, as I drive to the grocery store, or as I comfort a child in the middle of the night. They are always there, ready to be used. So the author's making a good point. The author's not saying, just do arrow prayers and disregard reading your Bible and disregard the rosary. No, this is in addition.
Yeah, in addition.
You should be reading your Bible every day.
Yeah.
In fact, St. John Chrysostom, he says, when you open your Bible, the devil looks at that and he runs. The devil can't look at somebody reading God's word. The daily rosary, St. Louis de Montfort says, you cannot be committing mortal sin and praying the rosary at the same time. You're going to let go one or the other.
Yep.
So the rosary is, again, it's a 50 caliber machine gun of specific prayers to drive out the devil. So the author is saying those things have to be done. We just have to add arrow prayers to our toolbox, to our lunch bag, to our war bag, to our purse, our handbag, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
We have to add these arrow prayers into our spiritual arsenal as Catholics. And I'm using a military word because even if you're a female, you're a soldier of Christ. Yeah, that's what the Bible says.
Right.
It doesn't say just men are soldiers of Christ.
Right. It's funny. I was trying to find the potato peeler, you know, us ladies were in the kitchen, or men, looking for something. Where is it? Where is it? And I finally found it. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I found my potato peeler.
Arrow prayer.
So arrow prayer. There you go. So an arrow prayer is a short little shot to heaven. And that's what I did. You know, thank you, Jesus. They are particularly powerful during times of temptation or moments of pain. Easily to memorize, most arrow prayers are best prayed by slowly repeating the words over and over. I found that the more I repeat the words of an arrow prayer, the more they will penetrate my heart and the more I will be brought into the presence of God. Arrow prayers that are repeated and repeated also have the ability to melt my heart.
In the theology of prayer, Liber Christo teaches that prayer makes God present. It's just like if you start cursing and doing hexes and dropping F-bombs, demons will become present. When you pray, that makes God present. That's the whole theology of the Mass. What happens?
And that's actually an introduction to our next article.
Yeah, it is. What happens at the Mass when a priest does this and he says the words of the Last Supper over bread and wine? That's called anamnesis. In Greek, that means making the past present, making the sacrifice of Calvary anamnesis, making it present. And that's what prayer does. This morning when we prayed the rosary, guess what? In praying the rosary and projecting those prayers out into the cosmos, we brought in the mysteries of Our Lady into our house today. You make those events present. That's the theology of prayer. So
here are her five favorite arrow prayers.
And I agree with her. I like her list. I use these lists.
Absolutely. Yes.
We're like on the same page.
Yeah. So she says to encourage you to grab a bookmark below and stick it in your Bible planner or journal so that these arrow prayers can fill your spiritual quiver. That was the metaphor too much. She goes, was the metaphor too much? She said. So here's the first favorite arrow prayer. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me.
And by the way, that's one of the prayers that I'm always praying here on Jesus 911 show.
Yep.
That's Psalm 69, verse 2.
Right. And they say it in the daily office. It's also in the daily office for those of you that don't know that. So these words come from Psalm 69. They are also the words that are recited at the beginning of the daily office. I admittedly am not in the practice of saying the daily office, but I do find myself using this arrow prayer often. I like to say this prayer before I begin my sort of ministry work.
You know what? In this Psalm 69, verse 2, that God come to my assistance, Lord, make haste to help me. That's really, I think, the flagship Bible verse for Jesus 911 for the Monday through Friday shows on Jesus 911. Because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, 911, that's a call for help. That's if you realize that we need to call Jesus for help, you should be a listener to Jesus 911. This isn't for first responders, so to speak, only, you know, for cops and nurses and firemen. No, it's for any human being that's breathing that believes that they need to call out to Jesus for help. That's the flagship verse for the show.
Well, we're at,
talk
we're
about
at
help.
The end of the second segment.
Well, he sent us her help. He sent us help.
Yes,
our lady.
Our lady's our help. And we'll continue in the next segment with four of the five favorite arrow prayers. Pray for us. Ora por nobis.
Are the bright little dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
Here's an example of an arrow prayer. Virgo potens,
ora pro nobis.
There it is, just a quick prayer. You fire it up to heaven like this, like an arrow, like that's it.
Yeah. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
And that arrow that shoots up in the air, it's an airstrike against the demons that are in the cosmos.
There's so many. You could look at scripture, and there's so many.
Yep. Here's a famous one amongst Hispanics during Mass. You'll hear it in every Spanish Mass. It's you'll find people in English, they'll say it as well. They'll just say it say it softer, but in Spanish they say it loud. It's from John 20:28. It's my Lord and my God. Oh, I skipped one.
Yeah, you skipped one.
Oh, I skipped
on
it.
Number two, Lord number Jesus two. Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's okay, sweetie.
Yeah, that's an arrow prayer. That's an arrow prayer. Often referred to as the Jesus prayer, this was given to us by St. John Chrysostom back in the 4th century. It's been used by the Eastern Catholics for about 1,600 years. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This arrow prayer actually comes from the Holy Bible, from the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. You'll probably recall that our Lord spoke to two men in the temple. The Pharisee stood with his head up, bragging about all the good that he did and thanking God that he was not like this terrible tax collector. The tax collector, in contrast, stood with his head bowed, pounding his chest, the Bible says, praying simply, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so this arrow prayer helps me get out of my own mind and instead look to Jesus. And there's no shame with Jesus.
No.
There's only mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And admitting that we're sinners is powerful and it's freeing. This is a very powerful prayer. I remember a Jehovah's Witness in front of the post office. I felt the signal grace to talk to her.
And our former
signal grace. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, by the way, I'm just wondering, were you Catholic before? It was a Mexican lady, older Mexican lady, and I was like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah, I was a Catholic. I said, so why did you leave the church? I'm just wondering. She goes, oh, because all you guys do all you do in your church and you're at Mass is pound your chest and say, I'm a sinner. That's all you do. I said, and I remember this verse because I was really deep in Catholic apologetics back then, immersed in it. And so I had this, I said, well, can I look at your Bible? Sure. Luke 18:9, look it up and read it. And she read that, where it says, and he pounded his breast and he pounded his chest and said three times, Lord. She closed her Jehovah's Witness fake Bible and she grabbed her magazines and she was embarrassed and she walked to her car and drove off.
Mm-hmm.
She never saw that in the Bible. She's criticizing the Catholic faith for a thoroughly biblical practice on how to get saved and get to heaven.
Well, she met someone who knew their faith.
Yeah.
And also, this is a great prayer to pray before you go to confession.
Oh,
gosh. You want to start these small ejaculation prayers.
No, arrow prayers.
The arrow prayers before you get to go into the confessional, because remember, the demons are telling you, don't go in there, don't go in
and
there.
And make a bad confession. Withhold sins. They're attacking you in the confessional.
So, we need to just start praying all these arrow prayers just to prepare our hearts.
Yep. Let's move on. Next one, John 20:28, my Lord and my God. Also taken from the gospel are the words of St. Thomas the Apostle in the gospel of John 20:28. As he places his hand inside the wounds of Christ, they are the words of profound faith reached after moments of doubt. Remember, Jesus walks through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks Jesus Christ. Come on, are you guys crazy? You guys are seeing a ghost. He's not alive. He's dead. We all saw him dead. He walked through a wall. The author writes, I find this arrow prayer particularly helpful when I'm facing a challenge that seems wrongly bigger than God. When I am brought face to face with a terrible evil and I wonder, how could God allow this? I fall back on these words. Praying this arrow prayer is admitting that I don't know everything and that I am willing to believe.
That's humbling. Yes. The third one is
fourth.
The fourth. Jesus, I trust in you. How many of us are familiar with that? We are. This arrow prayer is important enough that Jesus directed Saint Faustina to have it immortalized beneath a portrait of him. Jesus, I trust in you is the entire message of divine mercy. It is the way we are called to live every moment with complete trust in Jesus Christ. The writer says, I use this arrow prayer daily when I am failing or scared, when I am overbooked, when I am doing something scary like launching a new product or talking about the Eucharist on the podcast, or even when I'm walking into a social event. Saying this arrow prayer reminds me that Jesus is with me. Declaring, Jesus, I trust in you, is like placing my hand in his and knowing that we are doing this scary, hard thing together. And yeah, that's beautiful. Just imagine that. I'm just imagining having, okay, Jesus, I trust you. We're holding hands and walking in, you know, wherever.
To the scary situation, or this difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's childlike faith. That this woman gets it. This is the whole theology of Mother Saint Mother Teresa in her book, Simplicity. Saint Teresa of the Little Flower, where she talks about the little way.
Mm-hmm.
The theology of some of these giants of the church, this is exactly it.
Right.
They had this picture in their mind that they just were walking through life holding Jesus in the hand.
Yeah,
they didn't. It's not more sophisticated than that.
Simple.
And this is why these women are called Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Saint Teresa of the Little Flower. They got this.
Right.
They got what we don't get. We're like, oh,
we're trying to figure things out by ourselves.
Yeah, what does science say? What does Purdue, my law school, my law degree say? What does Harvard University say?
You know, these arrow prayers are stamped in this article as humility, just showing that we are nothing without God.
And without humility, you'll never say these arrow prayers.
Absolutely.
There's no way you're going to say them without humility.
You can't.
You know,
you think, I am woman, help me roar.
Help me roar,
You know,
the old song in the 70s. Right. Here's probably the most popular arrow prayer for those people that have nightmares. This is the one that gets rid of the nightmares, or as the psychologists say, sleep paralysis.
Yeah. Remember, this is a spiritual warfare show.
This is the arrow prayer that will lift the demons off you when you're having a nightmare and they're on top of you like a 500-pound weight and you can't move.
Mm-hmm.
Have you all felt that? Demonic oppression. It's just simply saying the name Jesus, but saying it with faith, hope, and love. This should be every Catholic's favorite arrow prayer. The author of the article says, I was introduced to this arrow prayer, Jesus, when I was in high school, long before I knew what an arrow prayer was. While on retreat, a nun explained Eucharistic adoration to us. I remember close to nothing of what she told us, but I do remember her saying that if we find ourselves in adoration and we didn't know what to say, we can just recite the name of Jesus over and over again, in tune with our breathing. And you know what? I often find myself in adoration, not knowing what to say, and so all I say is, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's a mouthful because that's the most perfect name in the world. And not only that, the name Jesus means God saves. So what you're actually saying when you're saying that, you're saying, God saves, God saves, God. And you're saying it with faith. That means you believe it. You're giving intellectual assent that God saves us and God saves you. So that's a powerful prayer.
That's a perfect prayer.
And St. Paul the Apostle says that this prayer, one day, everybody in heaven, on earth, and in the world of the damned, everybody one day at the general judgment will kneel down and confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will say it freely and voluntarily. The demons will say it by force, but everybody will say it one day in unison, like one great choir.
Right. So in Peter Kreft's book, Prayer for Beginners, it's highly recommended. Everybody should read that. He digs into why simply saying the name of Jesus is in itself such a powerful prayer. There are many reasons, but this name is the name of God, a God that loved us enough to become man, take a name, and die for us. We also hear in Scripture that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow on earth, under the earth, and above the earth. That is the power of his name, a name we can say and call on in all times of need. What an incredible weapon when we face temptation. There you go. You know, when we face temptation, just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And of course, let me give you just 2 points on that. The name of Jesus has to be said with faith.
Faith.
Mm-hmm. Because in Acts, absolutely, in Acts chapter 19, I think it's Acts 18 or 19, mm-hmm, you had some Jewish people that started calling on the name of Jesus. They're called the seven sons of Sceva. Mm-hmm. They started calling on the name of Jesus without faith. They were like curious. Maybe it was like, superstitious, like, hey, just check this out. But they didn't have faith. In fact, the Bible says they were Jewish exorcists. So they weren't part of the new covenant people, mm-hmm, of God. Because they were saying the name of Jesus and invoking his name without faith, the Bible says that demons left a possessed person and physically attacked them. Not in their minds, physically beat them up because they were using the name of Jesus.
Curiosity. Let's see if I can expel these demons. This is called Jesus' name.
Which is sacrilege.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you use the name of Jesus with faith, that's that Father Amorth, Gabriel Amorth, says, mm-hmm, in 6,000 exorcisms that he did in 29 years, he says, mm-hmm, every time he would quote the book of Philippians, I think it's chapter 4, where it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He said every time he did that, he said the possessed person, whether they were standing up or on a bed on their back or on a couch sitting down or on a chair, every time he did that, he says, without fail, he said like an invisible, mm-hmm, hand would take the possessed person and force them to kneel down at the words of Jesus. Force them to kneel down. He said it happened every single time for 29
incredible.
Years.
That's incredible.
Again, God the Father forced that demon. You're going to, mm-hmm, bow the name of my son, Jesus Christ.
Yep. So the author of this article said, I call Jesus into my moments all of the time. I find myself saying his name in my mind without even deliberately choosing to do so.
We'll continue a little bit more on arrow prayers, and then we're going to move on to something else, another topic.
Yeah, another topic. What is inside of you is the next topic.
Yep.
Stay tuned to find out.
Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Ora por nobis.
So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
We are back. Jesus 911 with Tobias and Sarah.
Jess and Anita talking and finishing off with arrow prayers.
Yes.
Remember, prayer actually does something to your brain. The author writes this. She says, I find myself saying his name, Jesus, in my mind without even deliberately choosing to do so. I struggle with anxiety. That's also depression, mm-hmm, and stress. It's a synonym. And I often use the name of Jesus to calm myself down and enter back into this moment. Well, guess what? She's doing something right, because there's actually something that happens to your brain when you start praying. It relieves stress and anxiety, because 15 minutes of prayer, about the 15-minute mark, mm-hmm, it releases endorphins, serotonin, and dopamine. The neurotransmitters are triggered, and it releases that and floods the entire body. So it does push back and relieve anxiety, stress, and depression.
And you have that in your book. It's on page 160.
Yep. Lord, prepare my hands for battle. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of arrow prayers that the author wrote about. Very powerful. I'm sure most of you are going to start using arrow prayers along with reading your Bible and your rosary and Divine Mercy every day and your 12 noon angelus.
And God will bring those to you.
Yeah, just use them throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Just even saying stuff like, if something happens, say, thank God, you know, mm-hmm, thanks be to God. That's an arrow prayer. And she writes, I pray that these arrow prayers can be as life-giving for you as they have been for me. And for all of us that use them as well. Put these arrow prayers and into your spiritual quiver.
Yes.
Okay, so next article we want to talk about.
What is inside of you? That's from Spirit Daily. So let's find out what they say. Do you realize that what's inside of you attracts things, light or dark? that are outside of your mind, spirit, and body. Call it within and without. When we have darkness, darkness is more likely to attach to us. When we are glowing with God's love, love comes our way.
I'll prove that point right there theologically.
Mm-hmm.
Angels go where they are called. Demons go where they're not resisted. Mm-hmm. So when you start praying, the theology of prayer, because one of the assignments of an angel is to carry your prayers to heaven. So as soon as they start hearing you praying, they report for duty. Okay? And they're saying, okay, there's just praying. I need a praying. They come and they carry your prayers like incense to heaven. Mm-hmm. That's one of their job assignments. They're like God's postman.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't pray and you just allow the darkness all around you, man, listen to the news, mm-hmm. the culture of death, the culture of the Biden administration, communism, the Great Reset. If all you do is fill yourself with the things of the world, you're going to attract darkness because mm-hmm. all those things have a diabolical component.
Yeah.
And so demons are always doing, I'll use the basketball term, they're always on the attack, prowling around like lions, 1 Peter 5:8, doing a full court press.
Mm-hmm.
You have to resist them. Mm-hmm. Keeping the light is something that you have to actively pursue. That means keeping Christ. Darkness is walking in mortal sin, walking in, you know how, it's easy to fall into
a two-way street. Yeah. And we all know when we're attracting darkness, even in subtle ways. We
your
know.
Speech.
Your speech,
that's
gossiping,
the first one. That's
anything,
the first one.
Actions. Those really reveal what, if darkness is starting to envelop you or the light is starting
and
to envelop
And it starts
you.
With your mouth. I'm going to be
Absolutely.
Honest with you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Read the mm-hmm. book of James. St. James has a whole section on your mouth. And having a big mouth and shooting off your mouth.
It's not what comes in your mouth. It's what comes out.
Yeah. That's what starts attracting demons right away.
Yeah, the mouth.
and that's why, again, in Liber Christo, they teach there, the exorcists teach that the demon looks at the mouth that blesses and curses at the same mm-hmm. time. In other words, the demon looks for duplicity. They already know that they got the bad guys on their side. So they want a Christian to be duplicitous.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God, pray to God, and then slander, detract, calumny, bad words, vulgarity. The demon looks and goes after the person mm-hmm. that blesses and curses with the same mouth.
Yeah, because remember, they're trying to take those that are following the Lord and are committed to our blessed mother, take us down. And they, like Jesse said, they already have those that are following them. Now it's us. We are the challenge. So
they want to make you duplicitous.
Right. That's why in the morning, what do we do? We should start doing the sign of the cross to expel those morning demons. Because where do they start coming from? Out of our mouth.
Yep. And there's an old phrase in math and in science mm-hmm. that goes, like attracts like.
Yeah.
That's from math. That's mm-hmm. math and science. So that's precise. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing. If you're shooting off profanities and mm-hmm. vulgarities and obscenities, demons are attracted to that. You will attract
mm-hmm.
them. And so, I think this is a short article, but it's well written.
Yeah, I think when that happens, it's the demons are circling around you. Just imagine them circling around you when you are, in darkness. Whether it's through speech or actions. But anyways, if there is anger in you, you are more likely to attract the spirit or spirits around someone who has anger likewise. If jealous, a jealous person may impart a spirit to you. If you are proud, others with pride may provide you with things that cling to the defect in your spirit. Hook into the weakness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and once a demon hooks in, they grow like weeds.
Yep.
So we are given another reason to purge ourselves through the sacrament of confession and stay purged.
Yep.
When spirits attach to us, they can cause a lot of problems.
That's why it's important to go to at least go to confession once a month, because although we might not have mortal sins, we have all these little sins that can accumulate. So we need to get rid of them and just be free of them as much as possible.
Absolutely.
So during confession, we recite the act of contrition. The word contrition comes from contrite, which means humble. It is derived from a Latin word contrutus,
Contritus.
That means crushed. Often we must be crushed in order to be humble. Go through a press of grapes to make good wine. Yet we know Jesus can make that wine instantly. So there you go. We got to crush those grapes so we can make good wine.
Yep. And Jesus wants to crush us, to be honest. Yeah, crush our sins.
That's what
our sin nature.
Well, that's what is the explanation there.
And you only could be crushed when you open your heart to him and say, Lord, crush me like grapes so that I can be made new, so that pure wine can flow out of my heart. Crush these grapes of sin with your love and your mercy and your forgiveness and your absolution.
That's beautiful.
When we contract spirit energies from another due to our imperfections, if nothing else, they rob our joy, equanimity, and peace. They also blind us. This is what they call in spiritual warfare. This is known as demonic transference. Mm-hmm. Or if you're having sexual intimacy with somebody who's not your sacramentally married spouse, that's also called a soul tie. Mm-hmm. And so that has to be broken because there will be effects. Mm-hmm. In other words, as Father Ripperger says, the spiritual junk that they have will be transferred over to you through this what's called demonic transference or a soul tie.
Yeah, we should leave no opening. You can seal this and seal that. You can cast this or that spirit out of you. But if one remains, there remains an entrance. You may have locked the door, but there is a hole in it.
Demons also always attack in packs. They never attack just one at a time. So everybody can self-deliver. 100% of people can self-deliver in relation to self. You have the power to do so by returning to a life of grace, state of grace, and a life of serious prayer. But once again, don't think that it's going to be just a one and done thing. It's going to be something that you'll be constantly doing for the rest of your life. And keeping these doors closed means that you have to live in a state of grace, and that takes effort.
Yep. What is in you is also relevant to what you give others. You can't give what you don't have. And so if you lack love, you have trouble giving love. If you are not healed, you cannot heal others. If you are not at peace, you cannot exude tranquility.
The light that surrounds you is from the light inside of you. Who's the light inside of you? Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible tells us in Colossians 1:27. It says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Remember that. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And Galatians 2:20 says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the essence of the Catholic Christianity. Living in a state of grace is having Christ in you. Mm-hmm. And in the same way that Christ lives in you, he radiates goodness, beauty, and truth in the same way that the filaments deep inside a bulb, they also radiate light.
Mm-hmm. Said a woman from Sauset, Long Island, I think I pronounced that right, her name is Barbara Marie, whom they interviewed years ago and who had a near-death review of her life. She said, I was shown how when I got up in the morning and smiled and presented breakfast, hugging the children, how it went from my house, and I was shown a drop of light that started in this one spot on the globe and went in this band of light around the globe. That was the way it was supposed to be.
So there's apparently a near-death experience, and God showed her that when she lived in a state of grace and walked in with the Lord in a life of prayer, she said that she saw just light going from where she was at all over the globe. In other words, she's projecting goodness. Her prayers are projected. That's the way it's supposed to be with everybody.
Yeah, just imagine if everybody was in a state of grace and through prayer, all those projections, it would be so bright.
You know, it would be like a thousand suns.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are in immortal sin, so they project darkness throughout the earth.
Yeah, we have a lot of gray areas there.
So once again, we got to take stock of what's inside of us. Only in this way can we have a positive effect on our loved ones and God's entire world. That's a wrap. That's Jesus 911, our Friday show. So glad to be on with you this Friday.
Yes, and don't forget, this is the month of the precious blood of Jesus. Let's make sure we hit Mass. I'm sure you go on Sundays, but try to make it to Mass during the week. If not, spiritual communion.
Absolutely. Remember, there's also 6 holy days of obligation.
Yes.
But the more you can receive our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, the better. That's what the saints say. That's not what I say.
And pray your rosary every day.
Yep. So
the spiritual warfare.
So the Bible verse for this program, Jesus 911, is what, Anita?
God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Psalm 69, verse 2.
That's the flagship verse for Jesus 911. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming to you from the Midwest Command Center. As for us,
have a blessed weekend and keep the faith.
Amen. End of watch. God bless you.